Jonathan said, David, I know that God's hand is upon you, and I know that you will one day be king. And David, I don't want to be king. I want to be right beside you. I want to be your helper. I want to be, as I would look at it, the place of Joab, your captain of the guard. But Saul messed that up big time. And we know what took place. And Jonathan and Saul were killed in the same battle. And so he's asking, is there anyone I can show the grace of God to? And verse 2 says, and there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. Now, I want you to think about David. Think about somebody coming to David and during the story of David, and they would say, yeah, I kill Saul. I come to kill Saul. David said, well, you're going to die. David was a man of war. And at this time in history, you killed your enemies. You didn't show grace to your enemies. And Saul was the, quote, enemy of David. He had tried to kill David. So in this historical setting, it would be that Ziba thinks probably this is the end, and no doubt Mephibosheth said, this is it. He finally caught up with me, and I'm going to die. And so verse number 3, the king said to Ziba, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. Now this is what I would call Mephibosheth just got thrown under the bus. Because I'm telling you, in the historical setting, it would have been that David just looking for a way to kill his enemies. And Ziba threw him right under the bus. But the king said unto Ziba, the king said unto him in verse number 4, well, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Michar, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Michar, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, behold thy servant! Exclamation point. Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. I'm telling you, this is the grace of God. Amen. And he bowed himself and he said, where is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master, son, all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servant shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both feet. I love the story of Mephibosheth. I like to say Mephibosheth, and I love to say Lodibar. Those are two great names in the Bible. What a picture of the grace of God. But you know what, tonight, as we sit here and we worship on this July the 3rd, 2022, we are two pictures of God's grace. Amen. There's a thing going around where people are going, we're just trying to help people find Jesus. And it's really, I don't like the connotation. Because Jesus was looking for me. David was looking for Mephibosheth. And he found him. And he showed unto him the grace of God. If ever there was a picture of salvation found in the Old Testament, it's found in this chapter right here. Mephibosheth, the grace of God. Lord, help me to preach the message tonight. And may every person in this room that has been saved by the grace of God understand the story of Mephibosheth is a story of grace. Because in the culture in which they were in, David was supposed to kill Mephibosheth, not set him at his table as one of his sons and feed him continually all the days of his life. Lord, we too are lame, we are broken, we are sinners. And Lord, you found us and you saved us and you let us sit at your table and eat continually. And Lord, we should be thankful tonight for the story that we read called Mephibosheth. Bless the reading and the preaching of your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. As you go through your Bible reading calendar, how many times just up until 2 Samuel have we read about, and have we will read it continually, how that the kings of those days would wipe out their enemies. If there was anybody that was left from a certain family, they wanted to make sure that that individual or those individuals from the family that lost the war, that they would not come back 20 years later and kill them. In fact, this was such a common attribute of the cultures of that day that even God in His law, in the law of God, that God set aside six cities that were called the cities of refuge, that if anyone would commit manslaughter, it didn't matter because if you kill my brother for whatever reason, I was coming to kill you. That was called the manslayer. And so God said that for what we would call manslaughter, a guy goes out and he's got his friend and they're hewing wood and the axe head flies off and hits the guy up the side of the head and kills him. That was not done intentionally. That was not what we would call first degree murder, but it was what we would call a manslaughter situation. But it didn't matter. The culture said, you kill my brother, I kill you. And the Bible says that that person that it would happen to was to flee to one of these cities of refuge. Three on one side of Jordan, three on the other side of Jordan. And they were to go there and they were to appeal to the elders of that city who understood the law and what it said about the cities of refuge and would say, this is my case, this is what happened, and they would be safe under the law of God. And they would to remain there until the high priest died, to which they would be released. Now, this was the culture. This is what happened. This is the way things were. This is how the judicial system worked. And we've already seen in the life of David, we've seen Absalom, Tamar, the brothers of, and we'll see later on that Solomon was ready to kill every brother, every son of David, so that he could become king. So this is just something that's hard for us to understand in a Western mentality. But the point is that David, in the culture, should have been looking to eliminate Saul's ancestry, not to show him the grace of God. And that's why, my friend, this story involves David as a type of Christ and Mephibosheth as a type of a sinner who is saved by the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Now I'm just telling you right now, Mephibosheth understood the culture. Mephibosheth understood who his father was. Mephibosheth understood who his grandfather was. And at the time that Jonathan and Saul were killed, the Bible tells us that a nurse took Mephibosheth and was racing away, trying to save his life. And she tripped and fell on him, and he became lame at his feet. Now let me just tell you this. Mephibosheth, down in Lodibar, has been waiting for the day that he knows David's going to show up. Except he knows that the day that David finds out that one of the descendants of Saul through Jonathan is alive, he knows he's a dead man. You understand this?
Yeah.
This is exactly the way things are going to happen. But you know what? This chapter of the grace of God preaches the gospel to us. It's almost like this particular chapter comes out of the New Testament instead of the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 22. May we remind us tonight of the record of Abraham offering up Isaac on the altar. Or we could go to Exodus chapter 12, which describes the slaying of the Passover lamb and the application of the blood on the doorpost. Or Isaiah 53, which speaks of the sheep going astray and the lamb sacrificing his life for the sins of mankind. Those are some other chapters that we might understand. They are like they are in the Old Testament, but they are gospel truths of the picture of the grace of God in salvation. And this verse, this chapter right here, is one of those chapters. Because the first thing that we see about the grace of God in salvation comes what we all need tonight, and that's compassion from God Almighty. In verse number 1 and 2, David said, now think about this. This is the point in history where basically we have learned about David that he has pretty much put down most of his enemies. He has enlarged the coast of Israel to its to the boundaries that Israel has enjoyed more boundary, more territory, more landmass than in any time in the history of nation of the history of Israel's nation up until this point. David has done that. David has come to the place in his life that maybe he's not going to be able to kill giants like he used to. And then he's sitting in his house, and he says, you know, Saul is dead, and I just wonder, is there anybody that's even remotely possible that's left from the house of Saul that I could show kindness to? Can we go back? Just let's do a little snapshot history here. Go back to 2 Samuel chapter number 1. Don't leave your place here, because we'll come right back here. But look in 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 17. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 17. And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. And he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of a bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, the beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ascalon. You know, he's saying, listen, let's not proclaim the death of Saul and Jonathan to the Philistines, because he didn't want the daughters of the Philistines rejoicing, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, and the shield of Saul as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turneth not back, and the sword of Saul returneth not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you with scarlet, with other delights, who put an ornament of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thy high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perish. Now let me just tell you something. The Word of God didn't put that in there to show us that David was a fake or a phony. Amen. He put that in there to show us the heart of David was that he loved Saul and he loved Jonathan. And David would have loved nothing more than to have been able to grow up in the house of Saul as a son-in-law to the king, and to learn and to do battle for King Saul. But Saul messed that up. He was an idiot. David makes it clear that Saul, the first king of Israel, was famous. He had warriors, he had an army, he built a government. And now he is dead, and David has asked, is there anyone I can show kindness to who might be left in Saul's house? Folks, that is not normal. Normal would be good riddance. The guy tried everything in the world to kill me. He tried everything in the world, and I hadn't done anything. And David never did that. David never spoke ill against Saul. Never. The wickedness of Saul brought God's rejection, and it affected his house. And his dynasty was taken away and given to David. David would write in Psalm 37, I have seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. The words when he says this, look at this, is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul? Is a result of anyone who rebels against God. Let me tell you something, my friend. Salvation is to whosoever will may come. The devil's lie today is to people, well, you've done too much, you've gone too far, you have too much sin, you're too wicked. No, there is no wickedness that God cannot forgive. There is no sin that God cannot cover under the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no one that is beyond the forgiveness of God if that person's heart will turn toward God. Amen. In repentance toward God. Sin destroys. Sin ruins. Sin brings the highest to the lowest. Sin takes beauty and makes it ugly. Sin makes fruitfulness to barrenness. Sin makes life unto death. Is there anyone should be a warning of the loss that can come, anybody that rebels against God. And by the way, by nature we are rebellious. David made a covenant with Jonathan. Go back to 1 Samuel 18. Again, these are verses that we have preached many months ago, but I just want you to see 1 Samuel 18. 1 Samuel 18, look down at verse number 3. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan, and we preached about this and what the significance of this, Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was up on him, and he gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. You know what that was saying? David, I know that you're going to be king. Look at chapter 20, 1 Samuel 20. And drop down to verse number 8. Therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself, for why shouldest thou bring me to thy father? Verse number 14. And thou shalt not only, while yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from the house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him. For he loved him as he loved his own soul. I'm telling you, David did not forget the covenant that him and Jonathan had. And you know what? God hadn't forgotten to love us when we didn't deserve to be loved. When man fell into sin, God didn't forget man, but he desired for man he desired to make a way for man to be saved. That is God's grace, and that is God's compassion. And you know what? When the Bible says, whosoever will, that's the grace of God. I tell you, I don't get these Calvinists. They're out of bounds. They're out of bounds. David wanted to show kindness to anyone. None were excluded. If there's anybody in the house of Saul or Jonathan, I want to show them compassion. And you know what? That's exactly the way the Lord is. I am so grateful for my salvation. I don't want to ever get over being saved. Everybody with me? Paul said his heart's desire for Israel. We'll read this later on in the book of Romans, that they might be saved. His heart was heavy because he knew that their religion would not save them. The keeping of the law would not save him. He said, look at this, another word we find here in this. He said, is there not anyone left? And then he said, kindness for Jonathan's sake. Kindness is a word that speaks of God's grace. And in the Old Testament, it is used here, the word kindness is used here, just like in the New Testament, the word grace is used. And the word grace basically here means the favor and mercy of God towards someone. It was used in the covenant relationship between David and Jonathan. I don't know that we could, any preacher, I don't know of any theologian, I don't know of any writer, I don't care who it is, can really measure in human words the grace of God. How do you put the grace of God into words? David was king, and you know what that meant? He didn't have to do this. He didn't have to do this. God is the creator of man. God is the creator of the universe. And God can do as he chooses. But you know what he chooses? Listen to this. He chooses to show us kindness. His grace was so great that he spared not his own son that we might be able to be saved. Mephibosheth didn't deserve this kindness, and Mephibosheth didn't deserve this grace. Why? Because he's in the line of Saul. Saul is the enemy, if you would. He is the one that tried to kill David. We don't deserve God's grace. We can't merit it. We cannot repay it. It's God's grace. Grace is not grace if its motives are wrong. David didn't have an ulterior motive that, like, well, I'm going to say this so I can find out where all of Saul's, this is, I want to find out where Saul's family is. This was not a pro bono case. This was not to gain political favor. There was no political gain by doing good to Saul's family. It was simply an act from the heart to say, I want to show kindness. David had many sons, if you've read through your Bible. He had lots of them. And David said, I want Mephibosheth to sit at my table like all my sons. You know, David sat at Saul's table at one time. But the truth is Saul's family and Saul himself tried to kill David. Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, tried to keep the kingship in Saul's family. And for Jonathan's sake, David just wanted to extend his grace. You know, the Bible tells us in the greatest sermon ever preached, Sermon on the Mount, do good to them that are your enemies. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Do you know how that is against our nature? God says, just go ahead and do kindness, heap coals of fire on their head. Mephibosheth pictures the sinner because he was lame. He had nothing to offer. In fact, lameness, being lame in this culture, was considered a shame and a reproach. Basically, Mephibosheth is hiding out in Lodibar. It's a hideout. It's a place where he doesn't want anybody to know who he is, where he's at. But you know what? We're like that. We don't have anything to offer God. But because of the sake of another, Jesus Christ, God is willing to show us compassion. In Ephesians chapter 4, he tells us, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." You know what salvation is about? Compassion. You know what salvation is about? The condition of the sinner. Look at verse number 3. Verse number 3. "And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness," look at this, "the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet." Now I don't know how surprised David was to find this out, but he was pretty amazed that somebody was still alive from that was Jonathan's son that was still alive. Now I believe David got excited about it. Why? Because he loved Jonathan. He loved Jonathan. Jonathan's dead. David can't show kindness to Jonathan, but he sure can show kindness to Jonathan's son. The news of Jonathan and Saul's death by the Philistines. This in the story back when this happened, when the news of Jonathan and Saul's death by the Philistines reached the nurse of Mephibosheth, she fled, believing the child's life to be in danger. But in the flight, she was a goober and she dropped the child, and the child became crippled. Now think about this part. You know how long it's been since, you know how old Mephibosheth is by this time? 20 years old. For 20 years, he had been hiding in Lodibar in the house of Michal, the son of Amiel. Because according to 1 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 5, it says that Bathsheba's father was a man named Amiel. If it is the same man, this is the brother of Bathsheba, this Amiel. And just as Mephibosheth was crippled by the fall, so too have we been crippled by the fall. Can you go back when you got saved? I don't know, me and Robin were talking about it this week. We were talking about how we are so thankful for God's grace. She would have killed me by now. Well, she would have killed me a long time ago. But God's grace saved us. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." You know, he had a feet problem. He had foot problems. He was lame. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." By the way, you know, if you look up in the Old Testament, we talk about the significance of names. Lodibar means a place of barrenness. Life without Jesus Christ is a barren place. You have no true peace. You have no security. You have no purpose. But for God, the sinner has been showed compassion, even in his condition of sin. Look at verse number 5 and 6. Here comes the Savior. Here comes the King. "Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar." Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and he did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth," he said, "fear not," verse number 7, "I'm going to show you kindness for your father's sake." Did you notice that in the story that we read, it was David that sought out Mephibosheth, just like Jesus Christ sought you out? "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost," Luke said. David fetched Mephibosheth and drew him to himself. God does the same thing for us. Now come on, people. You're talking about freedom? This is the greatest freedom any man can have, is salvation. John 6:44 says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent him. Draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Of course, you know that, you'd understand Mephibosheth knew this was it. This was his death. He was just waiting for the sword to fall. You talking about PTSD? Can you imagine being led to your death? He's down there in Lodibar. The Bible says the king fetched him. Means that he took down there. He took some, probably took him one of them things to carry him back because he was lame. David's servants are carrying him back. Mephibosheth in that carriage coming back, he knows who he is. He knows he's been in hiding for 20 years. He knows who the king is, and he knows what the culture says is going to happen. And so I can't even imagine being led away like that. Nobody gave him any comfort. Nobody said it'll be okay because they didn't know. And he comes there before him, and he stands before him in a humble place, and David says, Mephibosheth, chill out. Fear not, for I'm going to show thee kindness for your father's sake. Then this is not in the Bible, and I'm not trying to do extracurricular activity, but I like to think in my own thinking that he sat down there with Mephibosheth after telling him all this, and he said, let's talk about your father. Let me tell you about your father. Let me tell you about our friendship. Let me tell you about the covenant that we made one with another. I just have to know that Mephibosheth didn't know all this stuff. Mephibosheth, thinking he was going to die, is now sitting at the king's table eating with the king's sons. That's exactly what salvation is. We're sitting at the king's table and we're eating the smorgasbord of life. Oh, preacher, you're just not feeding me anymore. Well, the Word of God will feed you. The Word of God is fed every time we come to the house of God. We preach the Word of God. And every day you read your Bible, you get to feast upon the manna of God's Word. Matthew chapter 18 says, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of God. Now, let me tell you something. When the king shows up and gives you the grace of God, and we'll think about that in salvation, you know what takes place? A great change. Only God can change a sinner into a saint. And in verse number 7 through 11, David says, fear not, I'm going to show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. And not only that, Mephibosheth, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to restore all the land that Saul had, thy father, and then you're going to eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, who is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? The king said, call Ziba, Saul's servant. He said, Ziba, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. Now therefore, thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring in the fruits, and thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, he shall eat bread alway at my table. Then Ziba said to the king in verse 11, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth, expecting to die, is adopted into the king's family. The sinner deserves death, and the sinner deserves hell. But the Father is willing to adopt you into God's family and change everything. 1 Peter says, blessed be the Lord God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Look at this. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. We have an inheritance. This world is not our home. This world is not our home. Not only did David restore his inheritance to Mephibosheth, but David said, I'll take care of you. And praise God. I was just reading through Matthew this morning again and how God said, do you not understand I can take care of you? Don't I take care of the flowers and the birds? I take care of all that. God's people, listen, God's people need to understand. God's going to take care of us. I believe that. Do you believe that? I believe that Mephibosheth believed that. because he accepts David's words by faith. And he refers to himself as a dead dog. Now, dead dogs of that day were not the domestic little creatures that we like to bring into our home and feed them and pet them and all that kind of stuff. Dogs of that day were savage, and a dead dog would refer to a dead stinking dog. Seriously, a place of contentment. But before God, we're all like a bunch of dead dogs. But by God's grace, we're adopted as sons. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. What a change. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'm glad that God came looking for me back in April of 1984. And when He found me, He said, hey, dead dog, I want to show you some grace. And I'm going to let you sit at my table and eat all the days of your life. He changed me. I'm not everything I should be. I understand that. But I'm not what I used to be by the grace of God. One day a man was condemned to death, and now he's sitting at the king's table. And the king is taking care of him. Now Mephibosheth wasn't perfect, because later on, as you know, when David is on the run, he thinks maybe this is his opportunity to become king. Sometimes we're so wicked. God's given us His grace. God sets us at His table. Who are we to think we're going to become king? He's the king. He's the Lord. He's the Savior. On this July the 3rd, as we celebrate Independence Day tomorrow, if you're saved by the grace of God, you sit at the king's table. And our country has great freedom, but we have a greater freedom through Jesus Christ. What a great picture of the grace of God. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed.